on now. That's better. Morning. Morning, Maureen. At the Sprout quiz last night, there was one particular round where the team that Maureen was on had an envelope on their table, and in that envelope there was something that was either going to be a reward or a punishment. They had a reward, didn't you? Because what they could do was choose somebody from another team to come and join them to help them in the next round, and their reward was me. They didn't score them any points, but anyway. So there we were, sitting there, as a little bit of banter, perhaps. Would that be a fair way of putting it? Yeah. Maureen says to me, "I'm dreading church tomorrow now. You're going to pick on me, aren't you?" And I went, no, would I do that? This is not picking on you, is it? No, just telling a story. Anyway, now, put your hand up if you think you're really good at choosing. That's a good start, isn't it? Simon, you think you're pretty good at choosing, making a choice. So does that mean, and David's thinking he is as well, does that mean the rest of you are saying that you're pretty rubbish at making a choice? Yeah, Keith, why are you saying that? What's your problem with making a choice?
I think when we're in Papua New Guinea, there really wasn't any choice.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. So when you have not a lot to choose between, what do you do? You go with what's there. So anybody else? What's your problem with making choices? What do you find difficult to make choices about, maybe? Dave?
The wrong one.
You find it easy to make the wrong choices. Is that what you're saying? Right, okay. What kind of things are hard to choose between? What makes what's the main thing that you find it difficult to choose between? Come on, there's plenty of you should be speaking, because not many of you put your hands up.
I think it's what you want and what somebody else you care about wants.
Okay, the difference between what you want and what somebody else you care about wants. That's a big one, isn't it? Mike's got his hand up. Go on. Whether to play golf. Oh, no. Go on. Go on.
Really, I want everything.
Okay. At least he's honest. He's greedy. He wants everything. Let me give you two examples of things that are going on for me in my mind at the moment about making choices. We had a family photo shoot done recently. We were enticed by something that we were given that said, "Oh, come and have this done and you can have this free photo." Now we've got to make a choice. Just put this first slide up. We had 60 pictures to begin with, and we've got it down to 36, but we've got to choose 9. You know, you hear that we were enticed by the one free one, that we've chosen to spend some money and buy more. But, you know, when you're choosing... What have you done that for? Oh, okay. Well, so listen, here's the question. When you're choosing, but everything that you're choosing between feels okay, what do you do? What do you do then? You can put the lights back on because I can't see them now. Okay, here's the next one. You can choose celebrations if you really want to, or you can choose proper chocolate. Is somebody debating whether Cadbury's is proper chocolate? No, exactly. Now, some of you, you've got the freedom to choose. By all means, if you want to choose that other chocolate, that's fine, you're wrong. But, you've got the freedom to choose. But when you're choosing, but everything that you're choosing between feels okay, what do you do? We've been looking at these words over the last few weeks, choose celebration. I wonder how you're doing with that. This teaching series with the heading, choose celebration. Remember how we're doing with this is that we're trying to focus on how do we choose joy and celebration in our lives with God, no matter what's going on. How do we do that? So how are we doing with these words, choose celebration? You know, maybe it's hard. Maybe it's hard to get close to that joy and celebration because we don't actually know what that looks like. So what we're doing instead is choosing something that's more familiar, even if that's despair and distress and all of those kinds of things. You know, being able to choose joy and celebration in every situation, instead of being weighed down by distress and worry. The theory is great, isn't it? The difficult bit isn't about which one of those you want to choose, whether you would prefer joy and celebration or whether you prefer distress and worry. That's not the difficult bit. The choice there is obvious, but you know, listen, the hard bit is knowing perhaps sometimes how to get to the joy and celebration. How do we get there? How do we make that journey, especially if the starting point feels challenging? How do we get to the joy and celebration if our starting point is fear? What do we do then? That's what we're going to think about this morning. And we're going to think about that as we look at what Joseph did. How did he move from the first choice that he made through to a different way? How did Mary move from fear to willing acceptance? How did the shepherds move from the isolation that they were used to actually being fully involved, engaging in what was going on around them? They all needed to start by working through their distress. All of them. And unless they did that, they wouldn't be able to engage in the celebration. So how did they do it? Well, there are three passages we're going to focus on. I'm just going to read the first one of those, the Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. But the themes we'll be drawing from there are the same in each one. So if you've got your Bibles with you, then turn to Matthew chapter 1 and follow through with me. If you prefer just to listen, then that's good as well. Sometimes listening to the words of Scripture, particularly if they're familiar, is more helpful than following them through with the text in front of us. So listen or follow, whichever you prefer. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. So he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Father, as we engage with your word this morning, then Lord, help us to see here the example of others who moved from a challenging starting point through to a different place. Lord, help us to see in their example and hear in your word what it is that you would have us take from this for ourselves today. In your name we pray. Amen. So our beginning point then is needing to acknowledge that we've got to work through the distress. That's our starting point. Now for Joseph, the issue was that he was described as a righteous man. He had a reputation of always doing the right thing. That's what people knew of him. His betrothal to Mary would have been known by the whole community. It wouldn't have just been secretly between the two of them. Everybody would have known about it. And Keith reminded us last week that that they were in that period of a year between betrothal and the full wedding that could only be broken by divorce. This is the situation that they're in. You know, it's always intrigued me how it is with Joseph that he could think that divorcing Mary quietly was going to work. How was that going to happen? How was that going to be a good idea, a realistic choice? And I've wondered whether Joseph was actually in that moment of thinking that that was going to be possible, more interested in protecting his own reputation as a man who always did the right thing, or whether he was more interested, more concerned about protecting Mary and from the shame or the ridicule or worse that she would face. The attitudes that people would throw at her for being pregnant during that betrothal year. You know, if their betrothal planning and the planning for the full wedding to come was known by the whole community, then the anticipation and the excitement of what was to come would have been known and been part of everybody's thinking. How could Joseph change the plans and do that unnoticed? This is his starting point. For Mary, the news that she was going to have a baby came by way of the heavenly forerunner to email. You could have chuckled then if you wanted, but you know. She was going to have a baby, and we need to get the scene right in our minds. What was going on in that moment when she discovered this? A young girl, maybe 14 years of age, sitting at home doing her own thing, maybe thinking about the, daydreaming about the excitement of what was to come, that full wedding that was to follow the ending of the betrothal period. When out of the blue, an angel pops in, unannounced and unexpected. Uninvited. Dare we say as well, unwanted. The angel arrives and tells her, Mary, you are highly favoured by God. And then into that scene, bring these words from the passage that we just read. From Luke chapter 1, verse 29. Bring these words into that scene. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Now, there's a theological explanation I've discovered of those words that we're going to find really helpful here. Mary was greatly troubled. Here's the theological explanation. That is a massive, massive understatement. Of course she was a bit, you know, wondering and greatly troubled. And she had every right to think, didn't she? What kind of message is this angel is giving to me here? And then it gets worse. Verses 30 to 31 in that same passage in Luke. The angel says this. Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will be with child. Now, if anyone today, anytime soon, starts a conversation with you by saying, now, don't be afraid. Brace yourself. Because chances are, what they're about to say is not going to be pleasant and polite and gentle, is it? It's going to be something that's going to set you on edge. The question in verse 34 that Mary has is fair enough. How can this be? You know, I can think of plenty of other ways of expressing that. Maybe we should stick with the words that the Bible say. How can this be? Mary's starting point of distress. For the shepherds, it seems to me that their scene isn't all that different to Mary's in some ways. They were doing a similar thing, doing their usual thing, looking after their sheep. Biding their time, minding their own business, doing their normal thing on that hillside near Bethlehem. They may have been working in that moment, but we know as well that the shepherds there at the time were of pretty low status in society. They were frequently rejected, probably the last to hear about anything that was going on. But listen to these words of the angel in Luke chapter 2 verse 10 to the shepherds. I bring you good news of great joy. These weren't words that they were used to hearing. People didn't include them. They were left out. They weren't the ones to get the good news first. They would hear about it along the way, maybe. We know that it caught them off guard, because here comes those words of the angel again. Do not be afraid. They're cracking words, aren't they? You know, do not be afraid. I wonder if the shepherds might have wanted to shout back and say, well, why not? This isn't normal. What are you doing here? Have you lost your way? Are you giving this message to the wrong group of people? This wasn't their usual experience, was it? Joseph is faced with shocking news. Mary is greeted with a disturbing message. The shepherds were confronted with unexpected circumstances. Which one of those points there, which one of those situations can you most readily identify with? Is it the shocking news? Is it the disturbing message? Is it the unexpected circumstances? What would you have done in that moment? What if Joseph had done a runner? What if Joseph hadn't maintained his standing as a righteous man and he got out of there as quickly as he could? Or perhaps he could have found a way of getting rid of Mary. Just, you know, pretending that she'd done a runner. changing the situation. Could have done either of those things. Maybe he would have done, had it been left just to him. Maybe something then would have happened in a different way. What if Mary had refused, or did all that she could to make sure that any pregnancy didn't make it through? She could have done either of those things. Maybe she would have done, had it been left to her, and something different might have happened. And what about the shepherds? In the midst of their nighttime bewilderment that they had, what would have happened if they had run off as fast as they could to get away from the light of the heavenly host of angels that was right in front of them at the time? What would have happened if they had blocked their ears because of what they were hearing was just hurting and confusing and they didn't want it? Perhaps they would have done that had it been left to them. And a whole different thing would have happened. What would you have done? If you were in any one of these situations, what would you have done? Maybe we would come up with our own plan. Maybe we would do that runner. We would find our own escape plan. Maybe we would do all that we could to make sure that what was presented to us could never actually happen. We'd run away, close our eyes, block our ears, close our minds off to the truth that's being presented to us. Well, they're all valid choices that we could make when we're confronted with circumstances that we do not like. Any one of us could make those choices. We can run away and hide, close ourselves off completely to everything that's going on around us, stop listening, reject things, dismiss the truth. We could do our own thing. And quite frankly, often that would be easier, wouldn't it? We can do whatever we want, whenever we want, however we want. But listen, when we do, we need to understand the consequences of the decisions that we're making and try to decide from the outset whether that way through is really going to be worth it or not. You see, unless we work through our distress in a healthy way, no matter what that's going to be like, what that's going to feel like, whatever has got us to that place in the first place, unless we work through our distress in a healthy way, then we'll be choosing to live with more distress and more worry than we should be. It's only when we actually make that commitment in our lives to work through the distress that we can fully engage with the joy and celebration that's being offered. So we work through distress, and then we come to be able to engage with celebration. You know, joy and celebration didn't come to Joseph, Mary, or the shepherds through their personal achievement, but we've seen there how it came in the midst of messed up plans, changed priorities, shock, shame, distress, bewilderment. There's only one thing that made a difference to each of them, and it's this: God was there. God was there in the mess of life with them. He hadn't abandoned them, but instead, he was there to lead and guide them through their distress and bring them back to that place of joy and celebration that he'd always intended them for them to know. For different reasons, each of them were broken, but each of them chose, they made that choice to engage with what God was able to do for them and through them. Joseph moved through the potential for shame and ridicule to do what the angel of the Lord had commanded him to do. Mary moved through that fear and anxiety to be able to say, "I am the Lord's servant, may it be to me as you have said." The shepherds moved through their fear and their bewilderment and their just total confusion of what on earth was going on to be able to say, "Well, let's go and have a look." Fear, distress, anxiety, apprehension, all kinds of emotions would have been dominant as the starting point in each of these examples. But as they engaged with what God was doing for them and through them, things changed. Different choices could be made that led them through that distress and worry towards joy and celebration. But listen, don't hear all of this as it was easy, it was simple, the process was smooth and uncomplicated. there would have been things that they would, each of them would have had to deal with along the way. No matter how readily they'd followed the Lord's plans, Mary and Joseph would have still had to deal with people wagging their finger at them and tutting behind their backs. The journey from distress and worry to joy and celebration would have been long, and it would have been difficult. How about yours? Your own journey from whatever it is that you might want to put in that distress and worry pot to the place where you know that God is leading you to, that place of restored joy and celebration. How is your journey? It was the same for the shepherds. Society rejected them, pushed them away. For them to be able to get close and so be included in the midst of everything that was going on just in that moment, it would have taken considerable effort on their part. And do you know what? It would have taken a whole change in mindset for their community as well to accept them. Their journey from distress and worry to joy and celebration would have been long and difficult. How about yours? I don't know why it has to be that when something happens that moves us into a place of distress and worry, it doesn't take any time at all. It happens in an instant. But then the journey back out of that towards a place of renewed joy and celebration seems to take so much longer. But I do know this, that when we're on that journey back, when we've made that decision to engage with God and we're on that journey back, it's a whole lot easier because we've made that decision. That we've got God leading us and guiding us and strengthening us and restoring us. Without that, it's a whole different situation, isn't it? Do you know, that's not something that I know because I learnt it in a book at Bible college one day, or something that I read in a commentary more recently. I know it because I've lived it in the past, and I know that I probably will again in the future. And I know that's the same for all of us here. If your default setting is one that's always fixed on joy and celebration, no matter what comes up at you, then well done you. But you need to understand this. You are really, really weird. Because that's not the normal way for the most of us. For me, a cancer diagnosis at the beginning of last year, dealing with depression at the end of last year into this year, right now gripped with grief that began 3-4 months ago. These are not things that have me naturally running towards joy and celebration every moment when I think about them. But they cause no end of distress and fear. You would have your own examples, your own story to put in there. And you know, I'm not using my own story and my own examples to draw attention to me, but to draw attention to God. The only thing you need to see in those examples that I've just listed out there is that I'm normal and I'm vulnerable, just the same as everybody else. But God is totally awesome and in control. You know, when I remember that, and so I'm engaging with that in the ways that I should be, the outcome is so totally different to how it is in those moments when I choose a different way through. Joseph did as the Lord asked of him. Mary submitted to the will of God. The shepherds ignored how they were usually treated. Each of them needed to work through all kinds of things that could so easily have prevented them from moving towards the joy and celebration that was there for them. But they trusted the Lord. They knew what they needed to do. And so they were able to get on with, engaging with everything that God had given to them. They were able to celebrate through engaging with Him. How is it for you? Choosing joy and celebration isn't always easy. There's plenty of times when in the world's eyes, who are looking on us, waiting to see our reaction in a situation that we're in, if they see us choosing joy and celebration, it just simply won't make any sense. But when your perspective is turned around, so that your starting point is through the one born in a manger, born to be our Saviour, don't need to run away. We don't need to cover our eyes out of concern that His light might be too much for us. We don't need to cover our ears out of concern that the message of good news that He is bringing to us might not suit us or sound right or be what we need. Don't need to do those things. Instead, this is our verse for the year as a church. We pray that Christ Jesus and the church will forever bring praise to God. His power in us can do far more than we dare ask or imagine. The power of God, working in us and through us, through Jesus, can do far more than we can ever dare ask or imagine. And Lord, for that we give you thanks. Lord, we do celebrate all that you are and all that you hold out to us. And Father, we ask that you will not have us be the ones that are closing our eyes because we're concerned that your light, the light of your truth and love, will be too much for us, or blocking our ears because we're not sure whether we're going to be able to cope with the message that you have for us. Lord, don't let us do that. Father, help us to trust you, that wherever we are starting our journey with you from, whether that's a place of everything's going well or whether it's a place of distress and worry, Lord, wherever we're starting from, you are our awesome God who knows exactly what we need. Nothing that we need, Lord, will ever take you by surprise. And so because we know that, we can trust you. We can seek you. Father, choosing joy and celebration every time isn't easy. We know that. You know that. It's not guaranteeing us a smooth, easy ride. But Father, the journey is made possible and made more manageable for us when we engage with you and all that you want to do for us and through us along the way. In Jesus' name, amen.